Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 5. The book of Mark, chapter number 5 is where we're going to be tonight. And I'm going to do something just a tad bit different. I got to grab my phone. I have my notes on my phone this evening, so please forgive me for that. I'll get to this here in a second. So as we go to the book of Mark, chapter number 5, I'm going to ask, give me two gentlemen that will say, hey, I'll read the first verse 1 through 6. And then I want another gentleman that will read verses 7 through 13. Can I have two volunteers? Jeff, you got verse through 6. And I saw his hand real quick over there. So Donna, you'll take 7 through 13. All right, go ahead and if you would stand as you read that, Jeff, then Donna, you'll do that so they can hear you a little bit better.
And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the other fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him,
and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do? Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee, God, thy God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils beside him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea.
Amen. As those men just read these verses, I'm going to look over to Justin here. He had no idea I was going to do this, but back up to chapter number 4 and read verses 35 through 41. I want you to see where Jesus and his disciples were coming from at this point in time before they came to the Gadarene here. Go ahead, Justin. 35 through verse 41.
Chapter 4.
And 35 through 41. I got the microphone on. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, then we'll go over these verses and explain these rather quickly tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We trust that you would work in the message tonight that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that it would be clear to your people. Lord, I pray that you would bestow your wisdom and your knowledge upon me as I deliver it tonight. Lord, I pray that when we walk out of these doors, we can say that you have been glorified and that we have learned from your word tonight. We thank you for your love that you give us every single day. And Lord, I pray right now, my heart just, it really aches for the Blake family tonight. And so Lord, I just pray that you would comfort them at this point in time. Lord, I know words may come and go, but Lord, I know that right now they need our prayers and they need our love. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that we would demonstrate that to this family. Lord, I also pray that you would soften hearts. I pray, Lord, that hearts would turn to you once again. And we ask it in your name. Amen. So as we just read this chapter, I wanted to back up to chapter number 4 for a reason, because I wanted you to see where Jesus and the disciples were coming from at this point in time. And as we saw here, that they were on the sea, they became fearful because of a storm that had entered their life at this point in time. And they were fearful. And what do they know what to do at that exact time? They went to who? They went to Jesus. Because first of all, let's think about this. They went to Jesus because they seen Jesus work in mighty ways before this event took place. And so they went to him and they woke him up. And he said, "Peace, be still." And he said to them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Now, the funny thing is to me is they had fear in their life, even knowing what Jesus could do. But at the same time, they were able to turn to the Lord. And so as they turned to the Lord caused the wind to cease. He caused everything to calm down. And it says, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They got to see a miracle being performed on their behalf because they approached Jesus. And I have never been out on a ship the way these gentlemen have at this point in time. I've been in little John boats and other boats of that nature. And I do know that when the wind comes up, the waves begin to go about that boat, and it becomes very nerving at that point in time. And this is what they're facing. So they called upon the Lord to do a work in their life, and the Lord did a miracle. And now, as this miracle has been performed, they are astonished because they're thinking, "Wow, we've not only seen Jesus heal the sick, we've not only seen him raise the sick from the dead, we've also seen him, the blind man being healed, he's got his sight back. We've also was able to witness the woman who touched the hem of his garment, and her blood disease was gone from her immediately." And now they're sitting back and they're just astonished because Jesus talks to the wind and he talks to the sea and he says, "Peace, be still." And they're like, "Wow, who is this guy that even the wind and the seas obey his voice?" That is just amazing. Who created the wind? Who created the seas? It's amazing the power that Jesus has. I just was gravitated towards this. And now they're come to the other side. It says in verse number 1, it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." Sometimes in our lives, we are called to go to the other side. Jesus wants to use us in his ministry, and sometimes we allow ourselves to be so comfortable in our comfort zone. But I have to tell you this, there has to be on some occasions in our life to get out of our comfort zone and go to the other side. Because if we don't go to the other side, we might be missing out on an opportunity that is in our life that God has for us at that time. Even though we might not know the outcome of what's on the other side, we just need to put our faith and we need to put our trust in Jesus, knowing that he knows what's best for us and he wants to use us for his glory. And so Jesus took his disciples. They went from the place of the sea. They went into the other side of the sea. They came to this land of the Gadarene. And automatically, here comes a man upon the sea that met him out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. And so Jesus takes his disciples to a less desirable place. You know, I find that very interesting in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus always went to, it seems like, to the less desirable place in his life. Why do you say that like that, Brother Chad? Because I say this for a reason. We stay away from those less desirable places. Jesus had compassion on those folks who didn't have love from everybody else. Jesus had compassion and love on folks who were rejected by other people. And so he went to the other side. He went to a less desirable place. And he saw this man that was in this place of Gadara, a man that was possessed with demons. Now this man was not a godly man, obviously, because he had demons in his life. And Jesus saw a need to go there. He had the perfect foreknowledge of who was already there. And he knew that if he went to this other side of the sea, he was going to meet this man that was in need of him. But there was a problem with this man at this point in time. His dwelling place was not among the living. His dwelling place was among the dead. That's where he sought his bed. That's where he sought his livelihood, was among the tombs of the dead. I can't fathom that. I go into a cemetery today, I don't feel very comfortable walking into a cemetery. Something eerie about it in my mind, but that's just me. But here's this man, because of the man being possessed with devils at this time, was taking his place amongst the tombs. He was dwelling among the dead. A question I need to ask you tonight, where are you dwelling at? Where is your land of living? Where is your land of ministry at in your life? Those are questions that I have asked myself these last few days. Where is your dwelling place? Do you dwell with Jesus Christ, or are you dwelling with the world? See, we wrestle with the world, do we not? We have one foot in and one foot out. But what's God want? He wants all of us. And so we see a man that has this possession of the devil. He has a dwelling place among the dead. And here is an interesting thing that I see take place. As he's living amongst the dead, it says, and no man could bind him, in verse number 3, not even with chains. This man was so possessed with the devils that were in his body, they would try to put chains and fetters about him. Basically, they would shackle him up from head to foot in on his body. Everything would be shackled up because he's a crazy man. And just imagine this. He was so possessed, he was able to break off the chains that man put on him. I kind of laugh at this in a sense, because I was watching something here a few weeks ago on television, and I'm embarrassed to even say this, but I need to say this. There's a network called MeTV that I've just discovered on my television, and they had a show on that night called Wonder Woman. And I have not seen Wonder Woman for years, and I did not realize how silly and how stupid and how foolish it was. Just to make a long story short, Wonder Woman gets involved in some scheme, as she always does, and they kidnap one of her co-workers. You forgive me for this, but they kidnapped her as well. And what did they do with her? They found some special German-made chains that no man could break from. And so as they bound her in chains, she's sitting there, she's trying to escape, and all of a sudden, just like this, I mean, it looked like this, folks, and the chains fall off. I looked at that, I'm thinking, how dumb is this? But it got me to thinking about this man of Gadara. This man was strapped down with chains that you and I could not get out of. Chains that he was in bondage in, and that he wanted a way of escape. So often, folks, we allow ourselves to be in chains and fetters from the devil. We allow him to keep us in bondage. We allow him to have his way in our life at times. And he bounds us with chains. Why? Because he wants to keep us. We go on in this story. It says that no man could bind him with chains. Then it goes on in verse number 4. It says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So not only was he a maniac man, but he was also a wild man, to where no man could really tame him in any way, shape, or form. In verse number 5, it says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So he was so possessed with chains, the fetters, and possessed with demons, the chains and the fetters were unable to keep him locked up. He was so possessed with the devils that he sought to relieve himself of pain by cutting himself with the stones that he surrounded himself with. Satan, at this point in time, was having victory in this man's life. And as I read through Scripture, and I begin to understand that there is only one man that could save him, and that is Christ Jesus. Jesus, I have come to realize, wants to release those chains that Satan puts about us. He wants to release us from that baggage that we allow him to carry over our heads. He wants to free us from those things. But what do? We allow Satan on many different occasions to have victory in our life, to constantly keep binding up us with chains and fetters, and to constantly be hanging that baggage over our head and telling us we're not worthy, we don't deserve this. You're right, we don't deserve Christ. But Christ loves us, amen? But we can find victory through Jesus Christ. The amazing thing that I see in this picture is that in verse number 6, he says, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him." He automatically recognized who Jesus was. Even though as far gone as he was, being possessed with demons, being possessed with devils, being a madman, a maniac, he knew who Jesus was. Why? Because he heard of who Jesus was. He heard of the miracles that he did. He heard of the preaching that was taking place along the seashores at that point in time. He heard these things. And when Jesus came into the presence, it says he ran and worshiped him. And in verse number 7, it says, "And he cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.'" So he runs to Jesus and he worships him. Verse number 8, he says, "For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.'" Before this took place, again, he harmed himself by cutting himself. He was being crazy at this point in time, but he ran to Jesus. Satan wants to keep you and I bound in chains. Satan wants to keep you and I away from Christ. Satan wants to keep you and I from not wanting to have a relationship with him. And so often, folks, he's successful. He's very successful. But the Lord wants to free him from the bondage of Satan. Not only does he have a desire to free him from the bondage of Satan, but he has a desire to free you as well from those chains that Satan tries to shackle you down with. He wants to relieve you of that baggage that he hangs over your head. All we have to do is run to the Lord Jesus. The man saw Jesus, and he saw a way out. And he runs to him, and he wants to be released of the bondage that he is in. So he recognizes him, and he worships him. Then we see in these verses, it says, "And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that we would not send him away out of the country. Now there were nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place of the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked into the sea." I get to see something here take place, and that is the mighty hand of Jesus working on this man's behalf. He speaks to the demons, and he asks, "What is your name?" He says, "My name is Legion, because we are many." And Jesus rebukes them. And what happens? They immediately go into the swine, and the swine run into the sea, and they are choked. The man has been set free. He has been set free of those chains and those fetters that he was once bound with. He has been freed from living amongst the tombs that he surrounded himself with. He has been freed from cutting himself with the stones that he was surrounded with. He has been set free from those things. The thing that I get out of this passage this evening is Christ wants to set us free. I don't know the chains that bound you. I don't know the fetters that you are bound with. I don't know the baggage that you might carry around with on a daily basis. I only know mine. I only know what I dealt with. But I do know this: God wants to set us free. God wants to set us free from all those things. My question is to you tonight: are you willing to give those things to the Lord? I have come to realize after so many years of serving Jesus, that Jesus wants to work on our behalf, but so often we don't allow him to work. He works only when we give him permission to work. So my question is tonight, those chains that you're bound with, those fetters that you have been bound with for years, that baggage that's been over your head, are you willing to give them to the Lord? Are you willing to fall down on your feet? Are you willing to run and see the Lord for who he is and worship him? See, those things that we call chains and fetters keep us from serving the Lord the way that we should. That baggage that we carry around keeps us from having a relationship with the Lord. But I see in Scripture, all we have to do is run to him. The man that rebuked the seas, the man that said, "Wind, be still," is the same man that rebukes the demons in this man's life. And that is Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Satan was having victory, but at the end, Jesus had the victory. Satan wants to keep us in chains. God wants to free us from those chains. The man saw Jesus. Satan wants to keep us from seeing Jesus. Jesus rebukes the demons. Satan wants the demons to keep imploding in your life. That's how Satan works. So Jesus had removed him from bondage and had set him free. Jesus has had the power over Satan from day one. And I tell you this tonight, when Satan wants to work, when he tries to work in your life, and he tries to drag you down, and he tries to bind you up to those chains and fetters, and he tries to hold that baggage over your head, I ask you one thing. Remind him of his future. Satan's already been defeated. We already have victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that is an amazing thing to take from this lesson tonight. Jesus is not limited in our lives. We limit him. This man, the Gadarian, saw the possibilities of what Jesus could do in his life. And that's why he ran to him and he worshiped him. So my thought for you tonight is, if you're bound in chains and if you're bound in fetters and you have that baggage that's hanging over your head, I ask you, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for you to get back to walking with the Lord? And I'm glad I know that not everybody's that way. I know that there are folks that love God and serve God on a daily basis. But I do know this from Scripture. It doesn't matter how big or how small, there's always one that's bound in chains and fetters and is allowing Satan to have victory in their life. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I'm thankful tonight that you came to set us free from the bondage of Satan. Lord, I'm thankful tonight that you want to do a work in our lives. But Lord, my fear is that it's been in my life for many years is, Lord, you only work when I ask you to work. And so, Lord, tonight I pray and I give you permission to work in my life, to move on my behalf. Lord, I don't want to be tied down by the chains that Satan tries to put around me. Lord, I want you to have victory in my life. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that is struggling with this very thing, Lord, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would do the convicting, and we ask it in your Son's name. Amen.